Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cheese and Pickle.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights. Hello, I'm Julia Rayside. Each episode, my guest chooses a favourite TV memory to talk about. Joining me today is the writer and podcaster, Chris Thorpe-Tracy. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Julia.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm really well, thanks. Thanks for asking. What have you brought to talk about today?
I have brought Adventure Time.
Yay!
Pendleton Ward's incredible, psychedelic, post-apocalyptic, young adult animated series.
It's like a massive acid trip, and that's not being lazy, it's just it best describes what it is.
It is.
Yeah.
And it is both a very sweet adventure story of a young boy, Finn, and his dog.
Finn the human and Jake the dog.
Jake is kind of his brother, almost a carer sometimes.
Yeah.
Very sophisticated kind of adult type character, and Finn grows through the series, which is one of the unique things about Adventure Time.
Yeah, a cartoon character that changes.
He's the only
cartoons
human.
Don't. That's the whole thing about
cartoons. Exactly. So, you know, you don't get Bart Simpson growing up except as a joke occasionally.
Except to make a point or a gag, yeah.
But Finn grows up and he is also the only human. The conceit is he's the last human in this post-apocalyptic weird universe full of weird people.
Adventure Time, come on, grab your friends. We'll go to very distant lands. We'll take the dog and then the human. The book will never end. It's Adventure Time.
So kind of explaining it's quite hard because it's so complicated
it's
and so weird.
It's impossible to describe.
Incredible cast of characters.
Yeah.
There's the Ice King, who's a villain.
Yep.
Who is constantly trying to kidnap princesses because he wants a wife and lives in an ice cave with some evil penguins.
Yep.
But he also later on turns out to be quite a nice guy called Simon, but he's become the Ice King. I mean, it's so complicated.
It's brilliant. Who's your favourite character before we just dive into this bit of the plot?
The perverted elderly woman who is also an elephant called Tree Trunks.
Nice.
Partly because sometimes other characters will refer to Tree Trunks as TT.
Right, and so that's your last name.
That's my
truncated.
Abbreviated surname. And
amazing.
So there's some really great audio clips I've got that I was once going to use on an album, but I never did, where you get Jake the dog going, "Is everything okay, TT?"
Yes!
I never used
that's
it.
That's amazing. My favourite character is Marceline, because she's
bass
cool.
Playing vampire.
Yeah, I wonder why I think she's the best. Like, she's a
goth.
Her
dad is a fucking dick.
Why? Yeah.
Her dad is just...
total dick.
Yeah.
But she is voiced by Olivia Olson, who, nice fact, just because it's nice to throw these in sometimes, played the little girl in Love Actually, who the little boy who learns to play the drums is in love with, the American girl who he wants to be in a relationship with, even though he's like 9. That's Olivia Olson, who is also the voice of Marceline. And she's the voice of Vanessa Diefenshmirtz in Phineas and Ferb. So she's my hero.
So you managed to find a direct link between Love Actually and Adventure Time. And also, the idea of a 9-year-old loving someone who's too adult for them is one of the early pretexts of Adventure Time. Because at the beginning, he's a little boy, but he's in love with Princess Bubblegum, who is an adult woman.
Yep.
But of course, as he grows, she doesn't grow because she's not human.
Yeah.
So their relationship becomes more possible.
And less disgusting, Christopher.
And less disgusting and inappropriate.
So what's the bit of Adventure Time you'd like to zoom in on today? Because there's quite a lot of it, isn't there?
There is a really famous sequence, and this did go viral at the time. So I'm kind of clutching at the most obvious.
Yeah, that's okay.
But there's this wonderful psychedelic sequence about the food chain.
Round and round as the nature flows, it's like one big ring. Caterpillars eat plants, small birds eat caterpillars, big birds eat small birds, bacteria eats the dead big bird. From their plants grow again, caterpillar eats the plant.
And it is a standalone, like, 2 minute bit as well.
It's
so lots of people who haven't watched Adventure Time can share it and get a kind of sense of the vibe of the show without sort of spoiling the show.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so Princess Bubblegum is delivering a lecture to some of her mates, which she does quite a lot, a science lecture because she is a scientist. And she's talking about the food chain.
Yeah.
And the other people, they're not people, but the
characters, objects, shapes, some of them. Yeah. But yeah.
The kind of cupcakes and things.
Yes.
That are listening to the lecture are getting a bit bored, and then they're calling it lame and she's just boring.
Yeah.
And then Jake and Finn seem to agree and they go off, they leave. They basically walk out of her lecture and go, well, we're a bit bored by this. And then they have this vision.
Yeah.
And they are taken on this psychedelic journey.
It's so brilliant. It's so Yellow Submarine, isn't it?
It really
where
is.
Anything's possible.
That's
animation.
That's a perfect
comparison. Let's just let anything happen.
Let's just take them out of the universe, which does happen a lot in... It's funny because one of the things that's absolutely glorious about Adventure Time is that it both has an incredibly structured, solid, internal logic
absolutely.
And loop universe.
Yeah, yeah,
and at the same time can take you on a completely batshit,
you feel
freakazoid.
Like you could go anywhere.
Yeah.
I was walking home from school with my son today, actually, just before knowing we were going to record this. And he's a mad Adventure Time fan. I think maybe I wouldn't have found it if he hadn't said, Mum, you have to come and see this.
Oh, yeah.
I sat and watched it with him a lot when he was a bit younger. He was trying to describe something in Adventure Time to me. And I said, anytime you try and talk about Adventure Time, you sound like a lunatic. Isn't it brilliant?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that's what I love about it. Because he knows that world. He trusts the four walls completely, but he knows it can just be... His imagination, their imagination can go anywhere, and it's just magical.
I think it's as visionary and clever as Rick and Morty, which came a bit afterwards.
I agree, yeah.
But Rick and Morty is nihilist and really adult, whereas Adventure Time, although it has moments that are challenging and complex,
sure, yeah, yeah.
It is essentially like you can enjoy it if you're a kid. It's not going to ruin anything.
No, not at all.
If you're young. And also it can be, in fact, I wonder if this is a thing. It works both ways. It can be a secret thing for kids to understand that adults don't understand.
Yeah, because if you walked into the room, you'd go, what on earth
is
going on here?
It's just bright colours.
They're just talking nonsense.
Yeah, especially my generation, tends to underrate animation. We don't watch it. Now, I happen to watch quite a lot of it.
I felt like I grew out of it, and that makes me sad even saying it. I grew out of cartoons. I wanted live action after a certain age. I just stopped watching it.
And then also, once you've got one or two that are considered to be the adult ones, like, oh, so animation is for kids except for The Simpsons and Family Guy.
Beavis and Butthead back in the day
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And often they are very rooted in... They're very cynical, which Rick and Morty is as well.
Very cynical, rooted in.
But there's
it
this other strain.
It can't be too glad to be
of,
here. It can't be that. Yeah.
I had two other animated options.
Ah.
One, would you believe, was from the reboot of She-Ra.
Really? I haven't seen.
Oh my God! There's been four seasons of this Netflix reboot, which is called She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, which is like a queer, super hyper progressive,
amazing,
dominant women, fantastic. It's in many ways, it's got what Buffy had. It's like that ahead
incredible.
Of its time, ethically and ideologically.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of scenes in that show that are absolutely outstanding.
Oh wow!
And especially like, did you ever watch the original She-Ra?
Yeah. Yes.
So
in that,
remember she had the heroic horse, Swiftwind.
Spin-off of He-Man.
Yeah.
He-Man, She-Ra, Skeletor, that universe. And then...
Yeah.
Yes, I must have seen it because I was sat in front of the telly then.
It sits so of its time. Like if you try to watch that now, it's really not great.
Yeah, there are some animations, that, even though they're animations, you know, when they were made and they stay there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And this show is wonderful. Yeah. But I wonder how many doors Adventure Time opened. I think...
Of perception,
more...
loads.
yeah, it totally did.
When I had the next cup of mushroom
of
tea.
It's Ayahuasca on her. I mean, I love that as well. I like psychedelic stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing more perfect than something that can take you on a psychedelic flight of fantasy, like this scene, actually.
Yeah.
Takes you on a total immersive psychedelic fantasy where they live out, basically, I haven't explained what the scene does.
No, I know.
But the two characters live out the entire food chain.
They do. So they start off as, they're little flowers. They're singing or they're flowers anyway. Then they become the caterpillars that are eating the flowers. And then they become... And then they have a caterpillar wedding.
I've never been this happy.
This oasis is pretty romantic, huh?
Sure, I guess.
So, how many kids you want to have?
Do you want to get married?
Yes.
And will you, Finn, take this caterpillar to be your wife, even if she becomes a flower, or a bird, or a bacteria? to love and to cherish till death do you part.
Yes.
When two caterpillars love each other very much, he meets a lady caterpillar. Finn caterpillar marries the lady caterpillar, and Jake the dog officiates at the wedding, caterpillar wedding. And then they become, and then there's the song, the straw boater and the kind of barbershop outfit, and he sings a song about the food chain, which is brilliant. But it's actually educational. It just talks about how
And they become small. So it's small birds eat the caterpillars.
That's right, yeah.
And then they eat too many and they're fat and then they get caught by a big bird.
That's
and
it, yeah.
It just is, it has this kind of thing about the soul and understanding the soul as separate from the body that a kid could understand. I swear that this show makes kids happier.
Oh, I think so.
On a really fundamental, even with, because it puts all of this human drama that these kids will face and do face and puts it in a space that is only within one thing. Yeah. And then there's this other stuff.
Yeah. It allows them to think differently about the world, I think, in a really fundamental way. It allows them to look at the world and either see the factual stuff. It could have been on Sesame Street. It's like, and this is how the food chain works.
Yeah.
But also this fantastic backdrop, these characters that you sort of, you'd follow them anywhere because they are imaginative and enthusiastic. And it's so positive. There's something so positive about this show. There was, well, we'll talk about, because I was looking, I got in a YouTube poll.
Excellent.
After you said, oh, watch this. And I was like, obviously, you put food chain, I mean, I'll put the link up obviously on the podcast, but you put food chain Adventure Time in. And then obviously the first hit that comes up is this scene. And then just all this other lovely stuff. People who love Adventure Time aren't like normal people on YouTube who comment on YouTube videos. They are just different and it's so magical. So Adventure Time ended in only in 2018, so not very long ago.
It's only just finished, and it did quite a lot of seasons as well. It's nine or something.
It started in 2010, so it ran for 8 years. It was for an animation, they must have just been working around the clock. But it ended and there was an awful lot of sadness, I imagine, from both people who were children when it started and probably adults when it finished, and people who just, you know, take a lot of drugs and really liked it as a kind of sympathy thing to watch while they were getting high. So there's the music is also sublime in Adventure Time, but the closing theme tune, it does things to people. It does something to me. It makes me feel so melancholy but hopeful, but oh god, it's magical. So there's this song called The Island Song, and it's someone's, you know, made a video, and it must have been just after the show had been culled, and everyone's sad. And on YouTube, obviously, normally it's like there's a couple of positive comments and lots of people being a little bit nuts or people being argumentative. The comments under this video are so beautiful. Someone just said very dramatically and very sweetly, Carlos Curtis said, "I have only one thing to say, Adventure Time changed my life."
Oh,
just minimal,
so nice.
Just small.
That's and not then, bad for a YouTube comment.
No, it's so lovely. And then someone called Narni Bread said, "My girlfriend sings this song to me when I have a panic attack," which broke my heart.
Amazing.
And the last one I want to read out, which is probably going to make me cry. Finn and Jake's adventure has ended. That just means that ours has only started.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Come back. I want them to come back. It's genuinely lovely. I think it really affected people more than any animation ever has, because it's sort of, people are so invested in it. It was almost like even as an adult, a space where your brain could go and play, and then now it's gone. And oh God, that's so sad.
There was a whole season, I think it was season 5, where suddenly they were sick in every episode.
Oh, God.
It was so funny. And they never referred to it as a thing. That
but they
it
just
wasn't
decided.
Like, oh, this is a common thing.
Yeah.
But just in every episode, usually Finn was threw up.
But it would come out. Would it come out as vomit or like butterflies or a song?
Crazy or flowers everywhere. It was just, really
amazing.
Funny.
Amazing. But I can't think of another show that's done this for children. And obviously I know adults ended up watching it too, because, you know, it's just this beautiful hipster kind of unashamedly sort of experimental thing. But I can't think, is there any other animation? I mean, I think since then there's been loads. Like my son graduated from Adventure Time onto other cartoons now that I kind of are in a similar vein.
Yeah, like Steven Universe.
Yeah, and there's one about a summer camp where the parent, I'll have to get the title from him, where the parents drop the kids off at summer camp, and as soon as the parents have gone, the trees come to life, there's wizards and witches, it's all magical and incredible.
That. I don't know that. That sounds brilliant.
I think they all are spawned by the sheer bold imagination of Adventure Time.
Also, the positivity of it.
Yeah.
So we already had the snarky voice, and now we've got this thing that we can just re-engage with a vivid experience and just go, yes, this is, I'm going to be blown away by this, and I'm going to let that happen,
I
and
know.
It's going to be really lovely.
Soften your knees and just enjoy it. It feels like actually at the moment we need Adventure Time more than ever, and we sort of need it to come back.
In the series Avatar, The Last Airbender,
yes,
a brilliant animated take adventure your word series. For
it. Okay, cool.
There's a bit near the end. So it's been a big adventure and you've got to know these characters for ages.
Yeah.
And there's a bit near the end where they go and see a play of their adventures because they're famous by the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And they watch the play version of the adventure they've had for years. For, like it's... You've seen them. You've followed them for three or four
seasons.
That's
a bit like Synecdoche, New York, isn't it? A bit like that Charlie Kaufman film where...
Yeah, and it's got that level of... So they're then having to relate with how they're seen by the public.
Yeah.
Including the kid who was, for the first couple of seasons, the villain.
Oh, wow.
The prince of the Fire Nation.
And when he has to look at it, he has to observe himself. Yeah, he's kind of observing. Oh, I'm not very nice.
Although, yeah, and I wondered if... I definitely felt like this kind of opening up of the possibilities of something like that was an Adventure Time thing.
I think so completely. I think it is a bold commission in the first place. It's amazing the reach it had, the acceptance it had, and the way, even though it seemed outwardly nuts and impenetrable and how could I ever get into this, all I needed was my kid to say, oh, no, Mum, it's this. Just sit and watch it with me and just like don't sit, just watch. It was quite an overwhelming thing to watch something that I thought wasn't for me. My son's stuff is not for me. Like, I don't understand half of it. And I feel that's the way of things and the way it should be. But it was so bowled me over when I let it. You have to let it.
And also we enrich our own lives by letting it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a really important part of one of the problems with culture that are locking out. I was in Iceland a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
one of the things that really blew me away about Iceland, which is an odd thing, is that socially there isn't a generation gap between social mixing. So if you go into a certain kind of bar, you'll get a bunch of 70-year-olds friends all drinking together, having coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
And you'll get teenagers or 20-somethings in the same space. And they won't regard each other as alien.
No, it's not like walking into an old man pub in this country and there's like some 70-year-olds at the bar who simply don't want any have any truck with the younger generation. It's a fluid thing.
And of course, that's something that's doing us a lot of harm at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go and live in Iceland and bring back Adventure Time.
I would totally go.
They're like my two life goals, although none of us have the money to live in Iceland. But apart from that.
Have you been?
No, but I've heard it's really expensive. No, I really want to go, Chris. I know.
It is very expensive, but go.
Well, as a podcaster, I'm so incredibly wealthy that I will go now.
Yeah, well, this episode can fund your trip to Iceland.
I think that's probably going to be true. Thanks so much.
I got paid.
Did you? Get us a jolly. We'll go next time. That'd be amazing.
Definitely.
Thank you for bringing Adventure Time. It's made me genuinely happy in a cold world.
What a wonderful show.
I know. Before you go, though, please would you delve into the Box of Delights and take a question.
Have you ever voted for someone on a reality show?
I bet the answer is no, but go on.
I'm just wondering if there was one time on Strictly.
So you watched Strictly?
No, I watched one season of Strictly.
Okay, you have watched Strictly.
The one season I watched, which was the Rachel Stevens, Tom, what's his name, season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom Bloke won.
Was that the one Tom Bloke won? Yeah, the one who was really far too good right from the beginning.
It was brilliant. Yeah. Basically, someone got me into Strictly early in that season.
Uh-huh.
My friends Charlie and Jen made me watch it at their house.
And were what made you stick with it then?
Oh, I fell for it straight away.
You did?
I will fall for reality TV if I watch it, but I just don't try not to watch it. I do think we voted. I think once.
Who though? Can you remember who? I mean, this is a long time ago now. That was an early season.
And it wasn't going for like 15 years now. But there was somebody.
But you did. That's the main thing. You picked up the phone. Presumably?
I tell you what. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say I have never voted
for anything on a reality show because you just told me that you did.
But I think there's a dark secret.
You've suppressed it. It's okay. We'll get you some therapy. Thank you for coming. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find links to the YouTube clips from today's episode on our Twitter feed at Box Delights Pod. Come and say hello. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.